I'll read the scripture today if you have your Bible open. Chapter 13, the book of Numbers, beginning with verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation that showed them the fruit of the land. You see, they had some fruit. There's something over there. Now, a lot of people say there ain't nothing to it. They leave it for God. There's nothing to it. I've got 40-something years of proof. Hallelujah. Somebody said, how do you know? I've lived in the blessings of God for these years. What a blessing that is. Notice what the next verse said. And they told him and said, we came unto a land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now, let me stop on that. My daddy used to talk up here in the mountains about a land of milk and honey. Now, you folks around here believe that this is the land of milk and honey. But there was a promised inheritance that God gave to Israel and said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt into a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, notice what the scripture says. Nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I like that. That's Canaan land talk. Do you hear me? Now, don't you forget this. That's Canaan land talk. Boy, a man that's in victory will say, it can be done. All things are possible to those that believe. Man that don't believe that, don't believe victory. And here's Caleb. He said, we can do it. Oh, you better watch these tank Christians. You'll never get anything done for the Lord. Now, notice what the Bible says here. But men that went up with him said, this is verse 31, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw were are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, I want you to notice something. In the scripture here, in Numbers chapter 13, I'd have you to note verse 27. This is the text. I'm going to read it and have you seated. I'm going to pray and then bring you the message. The Bible said in verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us. Surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of this. He said, we've got the proof. There is a great land. There is a great promise that God gave his people. There is something better than living in the wilderness. There is something better than Egypt, and it's the land of Canaan. I want you to be seated, all of the house, if you will, beloved. I want you to bow your head for just a word of prayer, Father, as we come in this camp meeting service. Lord, I'm glad that Canaan land can be ours, that we can enjoy it. We not only can look at it, but thank God we can possess it. There's victory. There is a jubilation for the people of God. Lord, this whole world has never tasted of the land of milk and honey. This world knows nothing about what we're talking about. But thank God for that Christian that says, take the whole world and give me Jesus. Praise God, he's enjoying the land of milk and honey. So I pray that you'll bless every heart and speak to every soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you on Canaan land. It's just in sight. I know of nothing that thrills me anymore than thinking about what God has promised his children. If you want a blessing when you get home from the camp meeting rally, you look up some promises that God's given unto us. I think a lot of times we've never claimed them. I think a lot of times they're unclaimed blessings. But I want you to know God said to that crowd down in Egypt now, He said, I'm going to lead you out. And in just a moment, I'll show you something about Egypt. And then he said, you're going into the land of the wilderness because of unbelief. But after a while, you're going to get over into land that floweth with milk and honey. Hey, God said, I've got something better for you. Beloved, God has the best for you. God never gives you the second best. God's never given me the second best. Everything that God ever gave Mace Jackson, praise God, has been the best. Everything that God's ever given you, my friends, the best that heaven could afford. But Canaan was the best that God had on earth. It wasn't heaven, but it's the best thing you had. And he said, I'm going to give it to you, Moses. Lead my people. And they were on a journey. The Israelites were going from Egypt to Canaan. There are three places as they journeyed. Let me mention those. You're in one of those three places this Sunday afternoon. Either you're in Egypt, or in the wilderness, or in Canaan. Every man on this earth is in one of those countries spiritually. If you're in Egypt, that's a type of the natural man. That's a type of the man that doesn't know God. Ephesians chapter 2 says, there's a man that's without God and without hope in this world. Egypt's a type of a hopeless man, the natural man, the man that's never been saved. Oh, there's some pleasures down in Egypt. Moses said that there were pleasures down there, but they'd soon fade away. Egypt was a land of melons and onions and garlic. Egypt was a land of Pharaohs and a land of darkness. And there they were beaten like slaves. The Bible said they beat their backs. And Egypt was a type of bondage. And there was a time when I was in bondage. But I'm glad Jesus set me free. And thank God, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. That's hallelujah, mister. I'm glad Egypt was once my home. But praise God, it's not anymore. I moved out of Egypt. And then the Israelites, because of unbelief and an evil heart of unbelief, got in the wilderness for 40 years. If you're in Egypt, you're lost. It's a natural state. If you get into the wilderness, you're saved, but you're carnal. And Paul said, I would write unto you as spiritual, but I can't. He said, I have to write unto you as carnal Christians. Brother, he said, you're still babies. Now, I think the cutest thing in the world is a little old baby. I mean, if a little baby were to come down this aisle crawling while I was preaching and put his thumb in his mouth and say, goo, 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 why, I'd think it was cute. But if some of you Christians that's been saved 40 years would get on your knees and come down here and put your thumb in your mouth and say, goo, 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 that's a monstrosity. Say amen. Brother, that's baby stuff. Paul said, when I was a child, I speak like a child. But when I became a man, he said, wilderness means that you're carnal and you're still babies. And a lot of us, my friend, may be living in the wilderness. We have a taste of the spiritual things that God wants us to enjoy. I don't want to be like babies. I have three sons, and they used to play church. Man, they'd play church. My oldest boy, he'd do the preaching. My middle boy came by to see us this week, talked to me, and he's my pastor now. But he had to shout when they'd have services. My oldest boy would preach, and then Nolan he'd say, shout. He had to shout whether he felt like it or not. And he'd jump up and holler, amen, glory, preach, brother. And my baby boy's named Dale, and he had to get saved every time they had a service. I want to tell you, they had more playing church. You say, I wouldn't want my little children to play church. I'd rather them play church than Hoot Gibson or Tom Mix. Say amen. I'd rather them play church than anything. No, but we're not to come and play church. Brother, we're to come and worship in spirit and in truth. And we're not to come to play church. We lived in Greenville, South Carolina years ago. My boys were in the front room. It was raining one day, and they had some neighbor's kids in there, and they're playing church. Now, I heard old Nolan in there, and brother, he was just a preaching. After a while, Nolan did the shouting, and Dale was getting saved, and then had a baptizing in the front room in there. Now, I heard a little boy holler, oh, and my wife said, you better run in there and see what's the matter. My oldest boy had a little boy down, and he said, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, wham, and baptized. I said, wait a minute. He said, glory to God, I'm baptizing him in the floor. Hallelujah. But they're playing church. You see what I'm talking about? On their way from Egypt, they ended in the wilderness. Now, for 40 years, God fed them. And for 40 years, God took care of them. But they didn't do a thing for God. You hear me? A man that's living as a baby in Christ, hey, listen, he'll not do anything for Jesus. It's time that we do something for God. I told Brother Kenneth and them today, now this church has got to keep on. There's no turning back. I want to tell you, if there's more land to conquer, there's more to be done for the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, they were on their way. That Egypt's a type of the natural man. And then secondly, the wilderness is type of the carnal man. But thank God, Canaan, it's a type of the victorious man, getting all the inheritance that God's promised His people. Aren't you glad, thank God, that you're living in victory? If you've surrendered everything to Jesus, praise God, you're happy today. If you can say, I've burned the old bridges behind me, and thank God, I press toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Canaan is a type of the glory that we have here on earth. And some people don't have much glory. But praise God, I love the glory. And what a blessing it is. But if you have your pencil, I'm coming to the message. There are three views in the Bible of Canaan. Remember, I'm preaching on Canaan land is just in sight. And the three views, three different times they looked at Canaan. Would you write down the first place? In the first view, you find it was called the borderline view. They came to Kadesh Barnea. They were on the border. They were just about there. They were at the gateway. Just a few more days, and they'd been in the land where they could rest and shout and enjoy God's blessings. But because of unbelief, my friend, they came to the border. They came so close. And yet they turned back. And they said, Moses, we're going to turn back. And Moses said, keep on going. Canaan land is just in sight. Some of you may feel like turning back. You may feel like putting your Bible on the shelf. I want to tell you, you're too near home. Praise God to turn back now. I can see the lights of the city. It's getting closer for God's children. And somebody said, Brother Mays, do you believe it'll be long? No, I don't. I don't know how soon, but I got a feeling this thing's winding up, and I'm glad I'm on the right end of the wine. Say amen right there. Isn't it good to know that you're ready? Now you say, preacher, when they came to the borderline, what'd they see? They looked over into Canaan, and as they looked, they said, send a committee. Now, let me stop long to say this. A committee will kill you. God don't call committees. If you have committees, you have to elect a committee to look after the committee. Say amen right there. Brother God said, Moses, you lead them in. And Moses, you go on with your people. And Moses, there to follow you. God has an under-shepherd. I'm to follow the under-shepherd. My son is my pastor. I'm many years older than he is. And I think sometimes that he may not make the right decision. But I'm not to argue about that. He's to be led of the Holy Ghost. I'm to follow the footsteps of the shepherd of that church. Are you listening to me? They said, Moses. Moses said, let's keep on going. And they said, let's send out a committee. So they did. They sent 12 men out. And the 10 came back with an evil report. There's always the majority that never sees what God's doing and never sees what God can do. And they came back and said, it can't be done. They said, there are giants over there. Now listen to me. I've always preached this. I've never preached if you got saved, there wouldn't be any battles to fight. There wouldn't be any hills to climb. But I have preached this. Bless God, when you get saved, there'll be somebody in the valleys. There'll be somebody that can tunnel over. Hey, thank God, the mountains. I'm glad that there's someone greater than you that can fight your battles. And the giants don't make any difference. They came back and said, the wall. Aha! But there came two of the committee back, Caleb and Joshua. Boy, if you ever go to the Holy Land, I hope you go with your pastor this year. Let me tell you something. You know what you'll bring back? You'll bring back a little Caleb and Joshua carrying a bunch of grapes, and they're so big it took two men to carry. They said, boy, we're going to tell them what's over there. Every once in a while I get around a good old saint that's been seasoned in the Holy Ghost, and he begins to tell me what's over there. You say, I don't like it. Boy, I do. Thank God, what a blessing. I like it. And it's a blessing, mister. You say, Preacher Mays, what did Caleb Joshua do? Ralph Sexton said when he's coming back, they had that big, grapes, and said the grapes as big as basketballs. And said when they got down to the Jordan River, said Caleb said, Joshua, I forgot my bathing cap. How are we going to swim across the Jordan? And said, Joshua said, well, I'll tell you what, dude, give me one of those big grapes. And he took one of them as big as a basketball, squeezed the goody out, pulled the hull down over his ears, and swam across. Amen, right there. Brother, they went across the Jordan. And when they got back over to Kadesh Barnea, they said, hey, I want to tell you something. Bless God, we be well able. Said, there's no giant that can stand before us. We be well able. Now, because of time, I'm going to take one of those witnesses, Caleb, and I want to show you three things. Why he brought back a good report. Listen to me. First of all, Caleb had another spirit. His spirit was right. Oh, people, be careful about your spirit. The Bible said God gave him another spirit. We've got some people in the church, and they may be right, but they got the wrong spirit. Let me tell you something. Preachers can be right, but some of them have the wrong spirit, mister. I believe we ought to have the right spirit. And the Bible said Caleb had another spirit. Not only did he have the right spirit, but he had the right steps. Now write that down. The Bible said he wholly followed the Lord. I'm so glad I've decided to follow Jesus. And brother, when you follow his steps, you won't get in trouble. You'll have to follow him to Calvary. You'll have to follow him to the open tomb. You'll have to follow him to the Mount of Ascension. But thank God for the times that I followed in the steps of Jesus. And not only did he have a right spirit, and he had right steps, but I want you to notice the third thing. He had the right story. He could tell what God had for him. His story was right. Did you ever sit down by somebody in church and they had the saddest story you ever heard? And they're always crying on your shoulders? Boy, I like to get around those that says, glory to God. There's more with us than be with them. We're on the winning side. I like to get around people that's got the right kind of story. Thank God it's a blessing to have the right kind of story. They shout. There used to be a boy up in Hendersonville. His name was Harold. Harold had an impediment of speech. You know what that is? He couldn't speak plain, but he knew God. And he shouted all the time. I mean, he shouted it. He had the right kind of story. Every time you'd see him, he'd say, hallelujah! Praise God, it's getting gooder and gooder and sweeter. I don't care whether it's raining, he'd shout, hallelujah. I don't care whether there's a race on or preaching, he'd shout, hallelujah. Brother, everywhere he went, he'd shout, hallelujah. And he went to the doctor. And when he went to the doctor, Dr. Trotter, I knew him, he's dead now. He said, Harold, I hate to tell you, but said you got sugar diabetes. And Harold said, well, praise God. I knew it was getting gooder and gooder and sweeter, but I didn't know it was turning to sugar twice yet. Praise God. Let me tell you something. It ought to be sweet. Had the right kind of story. And so the first view that you have of Canaan is the borderline view. The second view that you have of Canaan in the Bible is the boundary line view. Do you know where the boundary is for Canaan? It's called the Jordan River. The Jordan River is the boundary line. On one side is the east side of the Jordan. Now, let me give you something. On the other side is the west side. When you pick up your newspaper today or tomorrow or next week, it never mentions the east side. It always mentions the west bank, the west side. Now, you listen to me. I'm going to tell you why. The west side was Canaan. The east side was the wilderness. The west side was the place where God had blessed. The east side was of that. Now, when they came to that borderline, listen to me, and they stood there to Jordan, God said, cross over. And 10 tribes crossed over into Canaan. But 2 tribes, Reuben and Dan, did not cross over. They stayed on the east side, the east banks of the boundary line. Now remember, there's the east side, and there's the west side. Over here's the east side, over here's the west side. And on the east side, there are 3 things. I want you to jot them down real quickly. On the east side, first of all, there was cattle raising. They didn't care for the things of God. They said, we don't care about what's growing over there. We don't care about the grapes and the pomegranates and the milk and the honey. We don't care about what God's got. We'd rather have some pocket change. Lay up praisers down here. Brother, there are too many people around this country today, and they're more interested in cattle raising and materialism than they are laying up praisers. treasures where moth cannot corrupt and thieves cannot break in and steal. You better be thinking about another country. But they were thinking about now. You know what's the matter with Esau? Let me tell you what's the matter with Esau. I made a study of Esau. You need to study Esau sometimes. He always thought of now. He couldn't live for tomorrow. Now I'm going to starve. If I don't get something now, I've got to satisfy and gratify my flesh now. Hallelujah to the Lamb. My Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now I believe in the correct. Somebody asked me one time, Brother Mays, do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I said, did you know there's only seven times you read the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Bible? In the New Testament, they said, no, we didn't know that. I said, study your Bible. First time it says in Matthew chapter 3, and John the Baptist came out and said, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Baptism of the Spirit, that's the first time. You'll find it over in Corinthians in the 13th chapter. Listen, the last time it tells you what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. He said, for we were baptized into one body. And brother, when you were saved, you were baptized into the body of Christ. Thank God, I believe in that baptism. When a man is baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are a lot of people confused about the Spirit. And then there's a lot of people confused about the second coming. But my friend, some golden daybreak, Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. You talk about a time till it'll be getting up morning. You talk about a hallelujah morning. The trumpet's going to sound and the saints are going to leave the ground. And praise God, we call that the rapture. After the rapture will be 7 years tribulation. But after the tribulation, we'll be back and rule and reign with him 1,000 years. Hallelujah, brother, that blesses me. We'd better get straight. But if you go to the east side of Jordan, you'll find their cattle raising. You'll find their confusion. And then you'll find their compromisers. They'll do anything. They'll sell their souls. Mister, let me tell you something. There's some things that never should be sold. There are some convictions and standards that we never should compromise with. Thank God. I'll never compromise with this book. It's God's inspired, everlasting word. I believe every word in it. It's inspired. I believe the outside where it said Holy Bible. Say amen right there. Oh, you say, Brother Mays. Now you said, what's on the east side? The wilderness side. When they looked over and saw the west side, what did they see? They saw land. Had three things on it. Write them down. They saw a land of continual blessing. Did you know that on the West Bank or in Canaan, you can plant four times a year? They have four seasons. And it's continually blessings. Praise God, when you get over by faith into the inheritance that God gives you in Jesus. I want to tell you, there's continual blessings. Every morning I get up, and every night when I retire, I can look back and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Continual blessings. Number two, write this down. Not only are there continual blessings, but over there, there's complete victory. Oh, you hear me? You don't have to chew your fingernails up your elbows worried about everything. You don't have to get up today and down tomorrow like a yo-yo. Bless God, over in the land of Canaan, there was complete victory. Thank the Lord. I'm glad that victory's in him. The Bible said this is the victory. Even your faith that overcometh the world. Thank God there's complete victory. Number three, there was the captain. Oh, the captain of their salvation. I'm glad the captain's over there. I know the captain. It did good to know the captain. It did good to know the head of the army. Thank God that's never lost a battle. I'm glad the Bible speaks of the sight of the boundary line and then the border line. But let's come to the third view of Canaan. And this was too late, but it's called the backside view. Notice the borderline view. Notice the boundary line view. And notice the backside view. He is 120 years old. You'll find this in Deuteronomy chapter 34. I want you to listen. And God said, Moses, come upon this mountain. I'm going to give you a glimpse of what I promised you. And because you spoke the rock, and because you disobeyed me, you'll not get to go over. You'll get to see the promised land. But you'll not be able to go over into Canaan. Canaan land is just in sight, Moses. But because you disobeyed me, you can't go. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, call your doctor in the morning. In the 34th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible said two things about Moses. He couldn't die natural. God had to kill him. You say, no, no, God didn't kill him. I want to tell you how I believe God killed him in just a moment. He came to where he couldn't go any farther. God said, we're going over, but Moses, you can't go. You can't go. Now listen, in the 34th chapter it says his natural forces were not abated. That means there wasn't nothing wrong with his heart. Call your doctor tomorrow and ask him what that verse means. That means there wasn't anything wrong with him organically. He couldn't die. He was 120 years old. And he didn't have anything wrong with him. The Bible said his eyesight was not dim. He had 20/20. Are you listening? You read that and you get home. And you call your doctor and read that to him. He'll say, there's no way a man can die if he's like that. There's got to be something wrong with your heart. There's got to be something wrong with your lungs. There's got to be something wrong with your blood. There's got to be something wrong with you somewhere if you die. Not with Moses. You see, Moses had smitten that rock, and he smote it twice. Now listen to me. God told him to speak, not smite that rock. And God said, if you do, buddy, you'll pay. Now, folks, let me tell you something. It's serious business. And when you smite it twice, you break. Jesus only died once, and he won't die anymore. Thank God he paid as the high priest for my sin. And he won't have to pay for it twice. And Moses smote the rock twice. Now watch this. I want to show you something. God took him up on Nebo. Nebo. And God said, look out, Thunder boy. Look back and see what you missed. Because you disobeyed me. Canaan land is just in sight, but you ain't going over. He said, Canaan land is just in sight, but you're getting off right here. And I'm glad God preached his funeral and hid his body. If you had the day to worship that body till today, if they could have found the body of Moses. But God preached his funeral and God hid his body. Even though Michael and him fought over it. I want to tell you, God hid it from the Israelites. They never did find his sepulchre. They never will find. Now I want to give you something real quick. Before I give you the last three things about this backside view of Canaan. Now watch this. You say, how did he die? If there was nothing wrong with his heart, there wasn't nothing wrong with his liver, nothing wrong with his lungs, nothing wrong with his blood, how did he die? Now here's the only thing I can come up with. If you can come up with anything better, tell me after service. I believe God laid him over in his arms and smothered him to death with kisses. Praise God. And he went out to meet them. Amen! You say, preacher, that's the best way I know he could have died. Oh, he had to leave the world. He'd smitten the rock and God said, our Canaan land is just in sight. But you can't go over there. But Moses saw three things. Write these three things down. I'll close in just a moment. First of all, he looked over and saw the riches of the land. Saw what he missed. Folks, listen, don't wait till you start to die. And then say, Lord, I missed so much of your blessings. I skipped church every other Sunday. I didn't do this. I didn't pray. I didn't read my Bible. I wasn't faithful to God. Oh, the riches of his grace. Enjoy them. The riches of serving God. Enjoy those riches now. Brother, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy the riches of God. Oh, we can enjoy the riches that God has for his children now. The riches of his grace. And Moses saw the riches of Canaan's land. There's another man saw the riches down in that valley. You know what he did? Lot. I don't have time to go into that, but you listen. Moses saw the riches. Secondly, he saw the people begin to have remorse. Now, folks, I want to give you something today, and I don't want you to ever forget that the longest day you live. If you've got somebody you need to go to and apologize, I want you to do it now. I want you to do it before dark. Get out here and call them up on the phone if it's long distance and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know what that crowd did to Moses? He saw before he died. They started to weep. And they wept for Moses 30 days. They just put on a fast and a week of time. And 30 days after Moses died, they wept and they screamed and they cried. Remorse. But it's too late. I had a funeral down in Atlanta several years ago, and a little old girl slapped her mama. I mean, slapped that mother that had cancer. I got through preaching that precious old saint's funeral. When that family wanted to come around after the service, that teenage girl not nearly jumped in that casket and said, Mama, forgive me. Mama, forgive me. I didn't mean to slap you when you didn't let me go to the dance the other night. Mama, I didn't mean to slap you when you're dying with cancer. And I'll tell you, the undertaker and another preacher myself had to pull that teenage girl off of her dead mother. And I thought, wouldn't it have been wonderful? Oh, if she'd have got down to that bedside before mother left here and said, I'm sorry for the way that I treated you and I slapped you. I want you to know, my friend, you better be sorry now and you better apologize now. Don't wait till it's too late. I'll tell you what I've seen people do. I've seen them do this. Somebody, say one of the quartet guys. I see right after Doyle's wife went to heaven. Let me tell you something. How many of you, and I'm going to be honest with you, went to her before she died and said, I love you. I've never hurt him, sorry. I'm asking you this. I wasn't here. Did you do that? If you didn't, it's too late now. And one of these days, Brother Kenneth, or one of these days, Willard, or one of these days, somebody please, or your Sunday school teacher, or one of the deacons, or some old saint in this church that's been a blessing to you is going to die. You're going to cry. But you know, you never told her. You never told him how much you appreciate him while he lived. Brother, that's a sad thing. Did you know that? How sad that is to find people, they wait in remorse out to the dead. I want to tell you something. I never had to go by my mother's casket and say, Mama, I didn't tell you while you lived. I just went by and said, I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hear me? You know what they did with Moses while he lived? They complained and they said, you got us in this trouble and you brought us out here to die. And they murmured against Moses and they murmured against Moses. And Moses said, let's keep on going. Canaan land, it's just in sight. So he saw from Mount Nebo, he saw first of all, he saw the riches and then the remorse. And then here's something he saw, he himself, the reckoning hand of God. You see, this is as far as God was going to let him go. He said, you've seen Canaan now. You smoked that rock, and I can't let you go any farther, Moses. And brother, the reckoning hand of God sent Moses out into eternity. Let me say this, when you disobey God, when you don't do what God tells you to do, I don't care whether it's you or me or anybody else, we get in trouble when we don't obey the command of the Lord God of Israel. And Moses disobeyed God. And the hand of reckoning fell upon him. And he went out into eternity. He saw Canaan. Canaan was just in sight. But he didn't get over there. Let me give you this illustration. I close. I had a friend down in Seneca, South Carolina. Boy, he's a good man. He loved God. But there's just one little thing in his life. And I'm not going to tell you what it was. It's so little. That he couldn't get victory over. I mean, he couldn't get victory. He wasn't smoking. He wasn't cussing. He wasn't going to picture shows or anything. But he had a little something in his life. It wasn't adultery, but his little something in his life. He couldn't just give up. I think I'll tell you because you'll go out and think it's something bad. He said, Brother Mays, I've always wanted to die a rich man. And I said to him, Dave, mercy. Why, I said, heaven's rich and the streets are pure gold. What are you worried about that? I said, you're as clean as a hound's tooth. I said, I've never found anything wrong with you. And here you are. Squabbling with God over you don't make enough money. He said, I preach, but since you have your place down there, I won't have them. He said, you see those apartments over there? I won't have them. And he told me, I said, I don't care. If you serve God and preach and are clean, I don't care what God gives you. I'm one preacher's not jealous. And if you're here today and you're just a layman or you're a Christian, if you live in the finest home, if you serve Jesus and put him first, I don't care what God bless. I'll shout with you when God blesses you. I believe we ought to shout with them. When God blesses people, he may not bless me, but if he blesses you, I ought to shout with you. And if he blesses me, you ought to shout with me. But old Brother Dave could never get that out of his system. First his baby died. Then his wife died. Then one day he called me and I went to see him. He said, Mace! He said, if I could just get down on my knees and weep and say, Lord, take it all. I invested with you. It's not much, God, but you own it all. But I can't do that, maybe. I can't do that. And he said, I've never really had peace in my ministry and peace in my life because that little thing nags at my heart, pray for me. And a few months passed. That little town's up above Tocoa, Georgia, Seneca, South Carolina. And I was called to go preach his funeral. And I got there, his friend said, Maisie, love you. But old Dave died disappointed. He never really got the blessings of God's inheritance. He got to the gateway of Canaan.
faith.
He put down everything but that craving to lay up treasures on earth. And he said many times, I've been to the gate of Canaan, but never been in the land that flows with milk and honey. Let me say, beloved, whatever it'll cost you to go over into that land, it's worth everything it costs to get the blessings of God. And I stood and preached his funeral. Tears ran down my cheeks. And I said, oh, God, here's such an unworthy preacher. Here's somebody that's a nobody. And you bless me. And I've never had the financial blessing today. But, Lord, I've enjoyed the sweetness of the upper room and the blessings of Canaan. Canaan land is just inside. Every head bowed, every eye closed.